Good morning. We'll take a minute. I want you guys all to close your eyes. Just be calm. Trust me. All right. Picture the scene in your mind. Jesus is teaching from a boat on the shore of the Lake Galilee. There's a breeze blowing across the landscape, not like the rainy weather we've been having, but a nice warm breeze. And he looks in the distance and he sees a farmer. The farmer sowing seeds into his field. As he watched the farmer at work, Jesus uses this scene to teach a lesson about life. As Jesus taught, the farmer acted out his message. The farmer, the sower, had a bag of seed on his side, and he'd reach in and get a handful, he'd broadcast it. He threw the seed to the ground. As he did so, some of the seed would naturally fall on the ground in front of him, but some of it would be caught up in that little breeze, and it would fall in other places. Okay, you can come back to me now. And let's look at Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 9. It said, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and he immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's move ahead to verse 18. It said, therefore, hear the parables of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, in biblical times, they didn't sow their seed. They didn't farm like we do today. There's no field prepared by tractors in neat little rows. In them days, the farmer would cast the seed out. He'd just take it and throw it and let it fall to the ground. And then he'd plow it under or rake it under. The fields were in long strips with paths between them so people could walk. It was important in a culture that walking was the main mode of transportation. Sometimes the Romans would build their roads alongside the fields. Sometimes the land next to the field was allowed to become overgrown with thorns and thistles. And it's possible when the farmer was planting, the wind would pick up the seed and blow it into these other areas. Jesus tells us that the seeds, the word of God, and the various soils represent the diverse responses that us people can give to the word of God. Their result determines the success they enjoy in their walk with Christ. There's a couple things I notice in this parable, and the first thing is that the seed falls into every type of ground without discrimination. It's sown on the soil with nothing but packed dry earth. It's sown onto the soil that's rocky. It's sown into the soil, was choked by weeds. It also falls on the good soil. And I believe what Jesus is saying here is God does not play favorites. His word is available to everyone. Everyone receives the word, and how we receive that word and how we react is what depends on how it takes root in our life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Every person alive, every person that walks this earth has the opportunity to receive God's word. We have a privilege of living in a time and a place where communication is easy. There's no such thing as our own little area anymore. We're a global community because of the internet, the radio waves, and whatever else you want to choose. And I think we should count it a privilege that we can so readily receive the word of God if we choose. But with that privilege comes more responsibility to share that word, to pass it along. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That tells me we have no excuse to not respond to God's word. People out there with hardened hearts, they can look at this world and they say, "Well, that's just nature." I say, "Baloney. That's God's hand at work. You can't fit plants and animals so neatly together, so perfectly, that it could be happenstance." Every time a baby's born, every time you pick up a newborn baby, or you play with your children or your grandchildren, that's God's perfection in life. And we can't deny that. The Apostle Peter had a revelation from God about this very issue. He said in Acts, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" We can choose to deny God's hand on this world, but it makes no difference, because we're all offered the same seed, the same word of God. The worst sinner on this earth will be given an opportunity to turn his life over to Christ. The goodness of God is not determined by our response, but upon his character. So every person that we see every day of our lives has that opportunity to be the good soil. And my second point, we need to look at the soils. The first type of soil is a path. We've all gone hiking. We've all walked. And you know what a hard-packed path looks like? It's impossible for seed to take root in a hard-packed path. I know here in Ohio, you get that clay, and it's just like walking on blacktop. And there's no way a seed is going to grow there. It can't penetrate the ground because it's hard. It's closed off. And this type of soil represents the cynic and the rebel in God's kingdom. They have no use for the Christian life, even though they might be familiar with it. They see it as irrelevant and unworthy of their interest. They are unwilling to give control of their life to anything, let alone be a deity that they can't see. They're belligerent. You can't tell them anything. They're proud. They're arrogant. And there's no place in their life for God. Hardened hearts. Romans 3:18 says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." These people are stubborn and selfish. They're more tied to the world. And when you have that kind of attitude, the Word of God can't live there. I see the seed of God just bouncing off that type of personality. It never sinks in. It never has a chance to grow. And after a while, Satan even snatches that away. The problem isn't a lack of understanding. It's an unwillingness to receive. You know, I look around and I read the articles about Christianity and the things that are going on, I have to believe that everybody in this country understands what a Christian is and what he does and what he believes. But they just choose to reject it. They want no part of it. Mark Twain said, "It's not the parts of the Bible I do not understand that bother me. It is the parts I do understand." I think that's a great fear in the world today. They do understand what the Bible's saying and they want no part of it. They're afraid of it. It's not they haven't heard with their ears, they just never heard with their hearts. The second type of soil was a shallow, rocky soil. The people could see this kind of soil all around them in their world, and I don't know how many of you here have put out a garden in Coshocton County. I think we grow rocks. We have that hard, rocky soil that every year if you till the same patch up, you still have to pick rocks out of it. I think they grow or they come up from the bottom, who knows. But the same thing there. Every year, surface rocks had to be cleared away. Some places there was a rocky shelf just covered by thin layers of soil. The rock pushed up. I don't know how many of you have ever gone rocking around here where the strip mining took place in Coshocton County. You can see the layers of shale, and you can see where plant seeds have grown, blown over and started to grow. But then when the winds come and the rain comes, they all fall over and fall down the side of the high wall because it's rocky. They can grow, but there's nothing to hang on to. There's nothing to set their roots into. Jesus was talking about the people that receive the Word of God with enthusiasm. But this enthusiasm doesn't last. They have genuine joy in the beginning, then something happens. I believe the pressures of the world come in. It starts to close in on them. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a problem at work. Persecution. Troubles come into our lives. And the ones that are the rocky soil, there's no way to set the roots. They can't understand why God would allow something like this to happen to them. Perhaps somebody makes fun of their faith right after they've had all this enthusiasm. Maybe a family member doesn't understand your faith and is critical of what you do and what you say. Maybe you know that if you follow your faith, it'll cause tension in relationships at home or at work. So when this trouble and this persecution comes, those with shallow roots just give up. And they turn back to the world and the life that they lived. They lose their enthusiasm, and there's no discipline. The third type of the soil was a seed that fell among the thorns and the weeds. Jesus described it. He said, "The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and a desire for other things." These are the things that grow up and choke out the word and make it unfruitful. Notice that this is good soil. It's growing weeds and thorns. Things grow easily here. But the seed falls in among it. And let's face it, weeds and thorns grow faster than anything else. And they just choke out the word of God. The word starts to grow, the weeds crowd it out, and it's done. Other things have been allowed to grow that shouldn't be there. You know, maybe this soil was just outside of the parcel of the land, but maybe Jesus was talking about a lazy farmer, one that didn't bother preparing his field at all and scattered his seed and hoped that it would grow. He was slothful. He should have pulled the weeds out by the roots, but he didn't want to take the time. There was no effort to take the weeds out of his field, just like with men and women today, we have no effort to take the weeds out of our life, to weed out the sin that's there. We just try to seed the Word of God in amongst our sin. And the sin continues to grow, and it chokes out the Word of God. the seed that God had tried to plant. We don't see the importance in removing the sin. We hope that the word will take hold and choke out the sin, but it doesn't. Maybe you tell yourself, well, I have special needs, or that could never happen to me. You've allowed things into your life that you thought you could control, but all of a sudden they're controlling you. That's the thistle growing up. That's the thistle growing up, the weeds growing up and choking out the Word of God. Sometimes we're drawn to the forbidden. Sometimes we say, well, we're just curious. I want to check it out just one time. One time. That's too many. We allow this unchecked sin in our life. We're headed towards spiritual self-destruction. So we need to weed those things out. We need to push them aside, pull them up by the roots before the Word of God ever lands in our life. We need to be working on that, as they say. Now, the fourth type of soil was the good soil. They're the people that want the Word of God to grow in their hearts. Jesus said in 23, he said, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. These are the people that want their lives to be fruitful for God. Their ears have heard, but their hearts have heard. They receive the word into their lives. They work the soil of their hearts. They grow, and they produce. They produce a harvest. Jesus said some 30 times what was sown, some 60 times what was sown, and some 100 times what was sown. Now we have to understand, these people aren't any more talented than anyone sitting here today. It's just simply the result of putting in effort and time to serve God. They're the people that desire the Word of God and are eager to grow in Him. They hear it with their hearts. They accept it into their lives. They're spiritually productive. They don't get sidetracked with new ideas or, I want to check that out just once. They stay focused on what God's telling them, the seeds that God has planted. They're not playing at Christian life, they're living it. And that's so important. We can't just say that we're Christians. We have to know what that means, and that has to be the way we live our lives every day from the time our feet hit the floor in the morning until our head hits a pillow at night. We have to filter everything that we do in this world through the eyes of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. If I do this, am I glorifying God or am I glorifying the world? If I do that, how am I going to influence the people around me? Will they see the light of Christ? Or will they see that dumb old Mike Walters at it again? Which is what my life used to be. The seed that falls on the good soil produces 30 times, 60 times, 100 times, just by the way we live our lives, just by the example we show our families. We have to understand God expects growth. It's a natural result of the good soil and good cultivation. So I want to ask you this morning, what kind of dirt are you? What kind of soil has the seed of God fell in? Are you like the hardened path? Maybe you've never really understood what this Christianity stuff is all about. You know, people can go to church and they can hear sermons, but that still don't mean they connect with what's going on. If this is where you are, I encourage you to ask God to help you understand the gospel. There's a lot of good men and women sitting right here today that will assist you. I'll help you. Just help you understand. I believe that if you pray and ask God to open your spiritual eyes, He'll listen and He'll help and He'll answer that prayer. He wants none to fall short. Maybe you're like the rocky soil today. At one time in your life, you made a profession for faith. Maybe you went forward at a meeting, one of these youth retreats, you went forward. Maybe you repeated a prayer that someone asked you to pray after them, but you never really trusted in Jesus yet. You've never taken it from here to here. I encourage you to turn to Jesus Christ and pray that prayer too. And ask Him to reveal to you what He wants you to do. Maybe you're like the thorny ground. Say, yep, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. But if you're honest, you'd also have to admit that your Christianity is way down on your priorities in life. I always say it's easy to check your priorities. Just open your checkbook and see where your money went. Or look back on your calendar and see where you spent all your time. Easy checks. Maybe there's so many other things that consume your time and your energy that you just don't have anything left for God. The enthusiasm has faded away. That fire that you once felt is now just a glowing ember. If that describes you, it's not too late. With God's help, He'll rekindle that fire. He'll give you that spark back. He'll help you to prioritize your life, to push aside the mundane, time-consuming things and allow space for Him. And maybe today you're like the good soil, producing a crop and living for the Lord. And if you are, I just praise God for that and say, amen, amen. But I also believe we need to examine ourselves. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just pray to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, You created us. You created this world. You give us everything that we have. Father, I pray this morning that for each one here, each one of us, I ask that You would help us to examine our lives. Father, reveal to us what kind of soil we are, where we've fallen short, and Father, where we serve You. You have a task for each one of us, Father, and I just pray, earnestly pray, Father, that You will open our eyes to the task You have for each individual. And Father, I ask our eyes would be open for the purpose that You have for this body of believers, how You want us to reach out and to serve this community around us. Father, I ask that You would strengthen us, but above all, I ask that You would give us wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to move us forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.